This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. First of all, my dearest sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's truly an honor and pleasure to see all of your beautiful faces here today, subhanallah. Wallahi, it's a huge blessing that Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to gather here. I ask Allah to always let us gather for His sake, inshallah. My dearest sisters, one of the reasons that I feel so passionate about speaking about the legacy of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because subhanallah, too often we as women, we tend to let ourselves take a back seat in the affairs of our ummah. Too often we tend to focus our attention on only revolving around ourselves, our families, and our lives. And we forget about the bigger picture. And we forget about the bigger role that Allah Ta'ala wants us to have in this ummah. So that's why it's so important that we speak about the legacy of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, the wives of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because from the greatest lessons that their legacy teaches us as Muslim women is how we as women need to be concerned with stepping up for this ummah, inshallah. Because sisters, one of the things that you see when you study their lives is that ultimately what made them great wasn't just their role of being righteous wives to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather it was their overall sacrifice and service to the cause of al-Islam. And when you study their lives, you can clearly see that they weren't just focused only on themselves and their households and their lives only. But rather you see that they were dedicated, you know, they dedicated their entire lives to the service of the ummah and striving for the sake of Islam. If you think about Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha and how much she sacrificed, how much she gave up for the sake of the ummah and for the da'wah of al-Islam. You know, subhanAllah, sisters, you think about it. When the whole world was filled with the darkness of jahiliyyah, with the darkness of ignorance and kufr, it was her house that was the first house of al-Islam. It was her house that was the one that was like a bright shining light in the darkness of this world. When the whole world was turning their backs against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and against the da'wah of al-Islam, you see that she was the one who was standing by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through thick and thin, supporting him with her wealth, with herself, with her emotions, with everything that she owned and possessed. You think about, she was the one that went through all the hard times, watching the Sahaba being persecuted, being tortured. She never saw the victory of Islam, subhanAllah. And that's why Aisha radiallahu anha wa adaha, she tells us how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never stop mentioning her. To the level that Aisha radiallahu anha says, there was no woman who I felt more jealous of than Khadija radiallahu anha, even though she had never seen her, subhanAllah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always say about her, he would say it over and over again, how she believed in me when all of the people disbelieved in me and were rejecting me. And she was the one who supported me with her wealth and herself when all of the people were depriving me. Radiallahu anha wa adaha. And sisters, imagine that it was due to her greatness with Allah, that Khadija, that Allah tabaraka ta'ala sent his salam to Khadija from above the seven heavens. One time she was walking, bringing some soup on a tray to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Jibreel alayhi salam descended and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, inna Allaha yuqri'u Khadijat as-salam. Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily Allah Ta'ala sends his salam to Khadija radiallahu anha. So when Khadija heard that, she said, Inna Allaha huwa as-salam wa ala Jibreel as-salam وعليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Subhanallah. Verily, she said, verily Allah is as-salam. He is the most perfect, the most free from imperfections. Wa alayka ya Jibreel as-salam, and upon Jibreel as-salam, and upon you, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as-salam. Also, my dearest sisters, when you think about Aisha radiallahu anha, and what was the main thing that makes her stand in awe of her? What's the main thing that makes us stand in awe of her? It was her sacrifice in the path of ilm, her path of knowledge. It was her dedication in learning and teaching and preserving the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You think about it, sisters. For 47 years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throughout the khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum jami'an, she spent her life giving fatawa. She spent her life striving in the path of knowledge, teaching and passing down the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of the knowledge that she had gained from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the level that the great scholar Ibn Hajar rahimallah, he said, one quarter of the rulings of Sharia that we have in Islam are through Aisha radiallahu anha. So look at the role she played. Never underestimate the role that women have played in the history of al-Islam. And the benefit of her knowledge was so great that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he said, مَا أَشْكَلَ عَلَيْنَا أَصْحَابَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ حَدِيثٌ قَتْ فَسَأَلْنَا أَعِشَةَ إِلَّا وَجَدْنَا عِنْدَهَا مِنْهُ عِلْمًا. He said that there was never any time where the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were confused about a particular matter in Islam, except that we asked Aisha about it and she would have some type of answer regarding it. This was the level of her knowledge. The tops of the Sahaba would consult her and ask her in matters that they were confused about. So this is why, my dearest sisters, that Aisha radiallahu anha is considered to be the most knowledgeable woman in the entire history of al-Islam. And we shouldn't think that it was only Khadija and Aisha who made so many efforts and sacrifices for the sake of Islam. Even if you look at the other wives, if you go study the seerah of the other wives, for example, take Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha wa adhaha. Subhanallah, dear sisters, a lot of us don't know that she was a woman who spent her life for sadaqah. She spent her life for sadaqah. What she used to do, she would make things with her hands out of leather and she would sell them. And with that money, she would spend and she would help the poor. She would help the masakeen. She would help the needy, the widows, the orphans. This is how she spent her life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the door of sadaqah. To the level that no money would enter her house, except that straight away she would tell her servant, go and give it to so-and-so. Go and give it to those poor people, those people in need. Because of her concern and her care for the ummah and her care for the Muslims, subhanAllah. Once one of the wives had asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who from amongst the wives will be first to follow you, Ya Rasulullah, when you pass away? And so he told them, it's going to be the one with the longest hands. So when the wives, they all went, they checked each other's hands because they wanted to see who's it going to be. And when they checked the hands, they found that Solda, radiallahu anha, because she, mashallah, she was a big framed woman, she had the biggest hands. So they thought it must be Solda, you know. But then what happened was, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and then many few years, like about 10 years passed by until Zainab radiallahu anha passed away, and that's when they realized the meaning of the longest hands wasn't in their frame, but rather in how much they used to give sadaqah. That he described her with the longest hands in how much she would give sadaqah for the sake of Allah. It was part of her virtues, radiallahu anha wa adhaha. You know, to the level that when the relatives of Zainab came to her house to, you know, collect her belongings after she passed away, they didn't find anything left in her house. She left nothing except that she'd spent it for the sake of Allah. You know, Aisha radiallahu anha said,
Wallahi.
And this is imagine having the testimony of Aisha for you. What a privilege to have the testimony of Aisha for you. Subhanallah. She said, Wallahi, I haven't seen a woman who was better in her deen than Zainab. Who was had more taqwa of Allah, who had more sidq, more truthfulness in her speech, who was more careful in maintaining her blood ties and more exerting in her efforts to work and in order to make money to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was her legacy, radiallahu anha wa adhaha. And we see how when Allah ta'ala called to the wives from above the seven heavens, He sent down those verses from above the seven heavens to the wives, dressing them specifically, where He says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَاذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. So He told them, mention, O wives, mention that which has been recited to you in your houses, that which you're hearing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the ayatillah, from the verses of Allah, and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and preserve what you're learning so that you can pass that on. Inna Allaha kana latifan khabira. Allah Ta'ala is the most subtle and the most aware. And we see how from the moment that these verses came down to each of the wives, that they did not stop seeking knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We see how after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, how each of them stepped up. Each of these, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stepped up to become protectors and preservers of this deen. And they became leaders and role models, sisters. Don't forget, they became leaders and role models not only for the women of this ummah, but also for the men of this ummah as well. And sisters, we need to realize that there is a reason why Allah Ta'ala chose such strong women to be from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the greatest reasons, my dearest sisters, is because Allah Ta'ala wants us as Muslimat to emulate their example. Because sisters, we need to realize that Allah Ta'ala wants us as women to step up and contribute to this ummah just as much as He wants the men from this ummah to contribute. Look at the ayat in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adabin aleem. Tu'minuna billahi wa rasulihi وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. O you who believe, men and women, shall I not direct you to a trade that will save you from a painful punishment in the next world? That you believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa tujahiduna fi sabilillah, and you strive for the sake of Allah with your wealth and with your lives, and that is better for you if only you know. Subhanallah. So this is an ayah that's directed not only to the men of this ummah, it's directed to us as women as well. And that's why we should never get the idea that our role as women is only to be concerned about ourselves and our households and that's it. And, you know, subhanAllah, because we see that the righteous women of this ummah were never just onlookers from the sidelines. Okay? The righteous women of this ummah were never just onlookers from the sidelines. They were never only concerned about themselves only and just their families and that's it. Rather, we see that they used to be involved. They used to be fully involved in the affairs of this ummah and they were completely concerned about how they could bring about positive change in this ummah. That's what we have to keep in our minds. When you read their stories, when you read the seerah, you know, go back and read the seerah and see how much the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahabiyat, how they spent their lives in sacrifice. You need to read their stories. to see how much they spent their lives in sacrifice, making hijra for the sake of Allah, running backwards and forwards, subhanAllah, on battlefields, attending the sick and wounded, spending their wealth for the sake of Allah, exerting their efforts in teaching, raising the next generation, teaching and, you know, preserving the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They took an active role in everything concerned with this ummah. And you know, many times you'll see how when crisis would break out in the ummah, you'll see how the heads, you know, the leaders from amongst the women would advise the men. For example, you'll see many times where Aisha would advise the men, or you'll see Salama, or Zainab, or Hafsa, they would advise the men in these matters. So they weren't just, you know, taking a back seat, as we might imagine. And so, subhanAllah, sisters, this is why we need to be asking ourselves, if this is how much they were striving for the ummah, we need to ask ourselves, what are we personally doing to try to bring positive change for our ummah ourselves, inshallah. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through 5 practical tips for ways that we can try to emulate their example in our life, inshallah. Okay, so the tip number one is to, you know, use whatever blessings that Allah Ta'ala has given you to serve the ummah. This is tip number one. And we have to all understand something here, because a lot of people sit here and they think to themselves, I don't have anything special that I can do. I've got nothing about me. And subhanAllah, what we have to realize, my dear sisters, is that every single one of you sitting here has something special that Allah Ta'ala has given you, and He wants you to use it to achieve your higher purpose in this life. And just like we see how each of the wives had their own unique impact, they had their own unique ways that they could contribute to Islam and to the ummah, each of you also has something unique that Allah Ta'ala has given you, and that's why you need to find out what it is so that you can leave your own personal fingerprint in this world, inshallah. So, you know, this is why my advice is, my dearest sisters, the way to come about this, first of all, don't just study your degree at uni so that you can have a great career. You know, try to think about a way that you could use your degree to serve the ummah of al-Islam. And when you have a child, when Allah blesses you with a child, don't just raise your child to be a doctor or an engineer. Raise your child to be a role model and leader for this ummah. All right, so whatever blessing Allah has given you, you try to use it to think about, what can I do to contribute to Islam and contribute to the ummah? That is what we have to be thinking about, subhanAllah. You know, and subhanAllah, my dear sisters, like, we all know that we have so many problems in our community. We can't even begin to start talking about all the problems we have in our ummah and in our community. So we have to, you know, that's why we need workers. We need people to be focused on how we can bring positive change. Imagine what each and every one of us could do if all of us are focused on trying to work out what we can do individually to help the ummah, to help the community, and to help Islam, inshallah. You know, I've known women who, you know, women, subhanAllah, like, who've had many children. They might say, I didn't go to uni, for example. What can I do? Once you've had many children, my dearest sisters, you become the best organizer. You become the best organizer. And I've seen those women go on and work in charity organizations, or work in, you know, volunteer work with setting up events. And tabarakallah, they become the best organizers in those, you know, in those events. Even if you're not a mother, you know, generally women are natural nurturers. You know, there's so much you can give back to the ummah. Like, we know that everybody's always crying out for more scripture teachers. We need role models. We need positive role models for the next generation. And so if you can just get that bit of knowledge and go into the schools and be a positive role model, whether as a teacher or, you know, a scripture teacher, whatever you can do as part of your capacity, subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. This is what we need. I know sisters that they're really amazing in cooking. They might have got an education, but they're amazing in cooking. And so what they do, they sell the food they make, they give it in sadaqah, they cook for, like, for example, when there's iftar in Ramadan, things like this. And by this, they're leaving their legacy of giving sadaqah through the food that they're cooking, subhanAllah. So my dear sisters, it's only when we begin to live our life, you know, using the blessings that Allah has given you for His sake, you know, for His sake, striving for His sake, that's when you'll truly taste halawat al-Iman. You'll truly taste the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness that Allah is going to put in your heart when you know you're living for a higher purpose in this world. And this is what will ultimately become your legacy, inshallah. And this is why we also need to keep asking Allah Ta'ala to guide us. But let me tell you, as long as you're sincere and you really want to do something to bring about positive change, you keep on making dua, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will guide you. Step by step, Allah will show you your way. And remember what Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive for our sake, we guide them to our paths. So as long as you're striving to achieve the good, Allah will open the paths to that of that good for you, inshallah. Okay, I come to my next point, which is really important, and that is looking after the state of your iman. You know, when you look at all of those who achieved great things in this ummah, the number one thing that gave them the fuel to stay motivated, because you can easily get burnt out. Like, you know, in the beginning, you get really energetic. Yes, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to make all the, I want to change the world, you know. And then, subhanAllah, what happens is you can get very tired. You can get very tired. You can get easily get burnt out. So you have to realize that the number one thing that used to keep all the believers of the past motivated was their strong connection to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is a mistake that a lot of people who get involved with volunteer work or community work, you know, they unfortunately, they get so involved in it, they forget to pay attention to their own spiritual state. You need to keep nurturing yourself. It's very important. Like, if you look at Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, subhanAllah, every morning he would sit and remember Allah. He would make dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, and he would have that quiet time to, you know, read Quran, make dhikr of Allah in the morning, to look after his spiritual state. And when he was asked about that, he used to say, هَذَا غَدَوْتِي. This is my nourishment. If I don't take this nourishment, then I lose my energy. I lose my energy if I don't take this nourishment. So if you're not giving back to yourself, you can easily get burnt out and you can't keep motivated towards what you're doing. You know, you think about prayers. When you pray, my dear sisters, when you pray your prayers on time, that's what keeps you focused on your ultimate goal, right? When you have a strong connection with the Quran, you read the Quran every single day. If not, you miss it one day, you make sure you don't miss it the next day, all right? So it should be a daily habit. When you're stuck to the Quran, when you mention Allah Ta'ala day and night, making dhikr of Allah Ta'ala day and night, this is what keeps you motivated. It keeps your mind focused on what you are heading towards, you know, seeking the Jannah of the next life, inshallah. So we now come to the third point, which is avoid blaming your circumstances for why you can't achieve your goals. Because, you know, if we look at the main reason that so many people stop moving forward in their lives is because you'll find often that it's because they keep blaming their circumstances. I can't do this because I've got all these obstacles in my life. Like, I can't do these things, right? What we have to know is that if you really want to do something, nothing is impossible. You know, as long as you have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is impossible, inshallah, as long as you have the help of Allah ta'ala. And I want to give you some examples of this. Look at Aisha, radiallahu anha. She lived 47 years as a widow with no children. She could have lived her life feeling sorry for herself, but instead she became the greatest female scholar in the history of al-Islam. If we look at Salama, radiallahu anha wallaha. She was a busy mother. She had many children. She didn't start seeking knowledge until she was in her 30s. She could have said, I'm too old to start seeking knowledge. I'm too busy. I have all these kids. But instead, she went on to become the greatest narrator of hadith from women after Aisha, radiallahu anha, narrating 375 hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she became one of the greatest faqihat, female jurists, in the whole of Al-Medina. And then if you look at Habiba, radiallahu anha wa adaha as well, She only got to live with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for about 4 years. You know, but yet she made every effort to learn and to take as much knowledge as she could from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in those 4 short years. And subhanAllah, she ended up taking, narrating and passing down, preserving to us 65 hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from amongst those hadiths is the famous hadith I'm sure many of you have heard about: whoever prays 12 rak'ah in a day and night, that Allah Ta'ala will build for them a house in Jannah. So imagine every one of us, inshallah, who prays those 12 rak'ah in a day and night, imagine the reward that Habib is getting, because of this is her part of her legacy. Radiallahu anha wa adaha. Okay, we come to point 4, and that is, realize that you're going to be tested in this path. As long as you're on this path for the sake of Allah and you're on this mission, you're going to be tested. You're going to find there's going to be times people are not going to appreciate what you do. People are going to criticize you. They might backbite you. You know, you might find them putting you down. These kind of criticisms we have to deal with. So we have to realize that sometimes that has an impact. You know, sometimes you can get so stressed from what you have to deal with from people that, you know, you can get to a point where it can start to interfere in your personal life. Because you start, as women, we're very emotional. We easily get anxiety. We easily get depressed from if we go through problems with people. SubhanAllah. So it can take a toll on you. And sometimes you might get to the level where you feel like, look, I don't need to do this. I'm just going to stay home and stick to myself. I'm going to give up, you know. So I just want to give you a little bit of advice, inshallah. You know, alhamdulillah, Allahu Ta'ala, you know, helped me to go through these lessons, I believe, so that I could help others when they also go through these lessons. So one of the ayats that I held onto in one of my darkest times where I felt like really giving up was the ayah in Surah Yusuf, where Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ مَن يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That verily, whoever has taqwa of Allah and is patient, Allah will never waste the reward of those who do good. If you hold on to this ayah, this is the ayah, this mentality is what helped Yusuf get through his trials. It helped him rise, subhanAllah, after all his tribulations and his humiliations, subhanAllah. So what this ayah reminds you of is, as long as you are sincere, as long as you are in the path of Allah, Allah will not waste what you're doing. Surround yourself with those who believe in you and put your trust in Allah, have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and keep moving forward. Inshallah, Allah will make you even stronger and more resilient than you were in the past. Number 5, don't let yourself feel hopeless when you look at the achievements of others, because it can make you feel like just doing nothing whatsoever. You know, look, sisters, let's be honest. There is so much pressure on women today, more than in the past. It's no longer good, like, you can't be single. If you're single, you're not good enough because you're not married. If you're married, you're not good enough until you have a baby. When you have children, you're not good enough because you don't work and you haven't got a business. And then when you have a business and you work, you're not good enough because why aren't you at home with your kids? So you can't win. No matter what you do, you can't win. SubhanAllah, you're never good enough. That's what it comes down to. And we as women are going through, and it's even been shown that there's been studies done, and it's been shown that women are going through a lot of extra anxiety in this time and a lot of extra depression, because especially due to social media. They believe it's mainly due to social media, because we're sitting there comparing, you know, this woman who's got all these kids and somehow she's got a business, she's written a book and she's done this and she's done that. And that's putting a lot of pressure on us, because, you know, people are saying, well, I must be hopeless because, you know, I can't even manage to get my dishes done every day. You know, I mean, I had a sister come to me last year and she said to me, you know, subhanAllah, I used to work in the community and do all these things. And I don't know if she's here, alhamdulillah, but like, you know, and now like I've got these 3 little kids and I feel really bad. I'm not doing anything. I said, subhanAllah, sister, you're raising the next generation. What is more greater than that right now? Focus on the role that Allah Ta'ala has given you now. And do it with ikhlas. That's the advice I say. Don't overload yourselves. It's better to do one thing well than do 100 things and you just collapse. You know, similarly, we find sisters who, like, they're single and they don't feel worthy because they're not married, for example. Those sisters have so much they can contribute, inshallah, to the Ummah and to Islam. So we've all got our individual roles. The most important thing is it's not about how much you do, but how sincerely you do it. It all comes down to ikhlas. You know, think about that lady who lived at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, subhanAllah, she didn't do, you know, anything outstanding in the way of deeds. Nobody saw her as a person who was very important, but she became a woman of Jannah walking on the face of this earth. Because of how sincere she was in remaining patient with the epilepsy that Allah Ta'ala had tested her with. You know, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, he told Atha, who's from the Tabi'een, "Shall I not show you a woman from paradise?" He said, "You see that black lady walking over there? She was trialed with epilepsy, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her the choice to, he could make dua for her and cure her from her sickness, or, you know, to be, remain patient and seek the reward from Allah Ta'ala in the next life for her condition." And she chose the Jannah of this life, the Jannah of the next life, over being cured in this world, over having her dua answered in this world of getting her cure, subhanAllah. And due to her sincerity, due to her ikhlas, that's what bought her Jannah, sisters. That's what bought her Jannah. So it's not about being the most popular. That's what social media is so, it's sickening our hearts. It's not about being the most popular. It's not about being the most recognized for what you do. Rather, the only thing that's going to truly matter when you leave this life are the deeds that you did with ikhlas. The ones you did sincerely for Allah. Whatever's not done for the sake of Allah, sincerely for His sake, it's like wasted deeds. It's like haba' and manthura. May Allah protect us from that. It's like scattered dust. It weighs nothing in your scale. So that's why, my dear sisters, whatever situation is that Allah Ta'ala has given you, I say to you, focus on doing that with ikhlas. Whether it's dealing with your sickness, coping, may Allah protect us all from your cancer, whatever Allah Ta'ala has you know, given you that test in this dunya, that's what Allah chose for you. He knows what's best for you. He wants the Jannah for you. He loves you and He cares for you and has mercy for you more than your own mother. And then let Allah Ta'ala take care of your legacy in this dunya. Now I come to the final point, which is always ask Allah Ta'ala to put barakah in your life. Ask Allah to put barakah in your life. If you look at all of the great men and women in the history of Al-Islam, there's one common thing that they all had, and that is how much barakah they had in their time and life. SubhanAllah, Shaykh Ibn Al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he says about Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he was astounded by the strength of Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, the strength in his body, the strength in his, you know, emotions, his mind, everything, subhanAllah. And he says that he would be able to write books of knowledge that would take someone else more than a week to write. That was the strength Allah Ta'ala gave him. That's barakah. That's what you call barakah. That you're able to do things which is like, you're able to do things that other people would take far longer to do. Allah blesses your life. He opens up those righteous deeds for you in a way that He doesn't open for others. So that's why we need to always ask Allah Ta'ala to give us that barak in our lives. And I've got this dua for you here. Allahumma ja'alni mubarakan aynama kunt. This is based upon a dua of Isa alayhi salam that's mentioned in Surah Maryam. Oh Allah, make me blessed wherever I go. My dearest sisters, this life is so fast. Suddenly you'll find yourself lying there on your deathbed, looking back at your life, wishing that you had done more. You know, those who came before us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wives, the Sahaba, the Sahabiyat, they sacrificed their wealth for the sake of Allah. They sacrificed their time and energy for the sake of Allah. Even they sacrificed their own lives for the sake of this ummah and for the deen of al-Islam. You know, all of us, alhamdulillah, all of us, we have the greatest love in our hearts for them. And all of us wish to be in Jannah with them. But what we have to ask ourselves is, are we striving to follow the same legacy that they left behind them? Are we truly focused on what we can do personally for the Ummah of Al-Islam and for our deen? Or is our focus only on running after the dunya and being concerned with our own personal lives? I ask Allah Ta'ala to help us all to live a life of sacrifice for Allah and for the Ummah of Al-Islam. I ask Allah Ta'ala to empty our hearts from having too much love of this dunya and to fill our hearts instead with the love for Allah Ta'ala alone. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to make us from those who will follow the prophets and the messengers and the siddiqeen and the shuhada and the salihin into Jannah. And I ask him to gather us all in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.